Okay, so we had a little bit of a break with Purim. Now we've recovered. We've even schmoozed. Now we're ready to get back to Perek Yud Ches in the Nefesh HaChaim. So the last few Prakim, if I recall correctly, we had been discussing all sorts of rewards for Torah, and then the last Perek had kind of a little bit of a nuance, which was talked about the world, the reward you get after you die, and the Olam Haba kind of a reward. So now we move on, again, along the theme, but to a different focus. Says Uchaim V'lozhner, Perek Yud Ches, Ulozos. In light of everything we've been seeing, Hadam Hamakabel Al Atzmo Ul Torah Hakadosha Lishma Ul Amita. Commission is Baral El Perish Lishma. Getting back to the way beginning, what is the meaning of Lishma, which he says was Lashem Torah, learning for learning's sake? Says Rechaim Vlezher, in light of everything we've been seeing in these huge group of prakim in between since that discussion, we now know that someone who can really accept upon themselves the responsibility, the hitchavut, the sense of obligation and duty to learn Torah Lishma. He is somehow uplifted or above all of the more finite and very this-worldly considerations. And he's going to have a very special high, a very special, specific, personalized, tailor-made hashkacha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has connected to the Torah. Now, that is a one-sentence summary of basically which was, I didn't count. This is 10 prakim we've seen, 11, more than 10 we've seen. A huge bulk of the last, prakim we've learned were all about the reward in this world, the next world. And none of that was like normal stuff. Like, all those things Hashem was promised, that Rechaim V'lozhner is culling from Torah, from Medrash, from Zohar, all those things that are being promised. None of those were like, you could find on a spreadsheet. You go to this college, you go to this graduate school, you put in this many hours, and out comes, the Al Pi Rov, the statisticians will tell you X, right? That was clearly not that. So in essence, if you reformulate, in one sentence, all those prakim, in essence, what are all those makaros saying, says Rechaim V'lozhner? That if you can attach yourself on that level, again, it's a super duper high level, but if you can attach yourself on that level, then you're actually above, the gravitational forces of this world and all of the different implications thereof. Kevashu dovok b'torah, uba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu mamish kav yachol. Right? You are, it's as if, again, mamish and kav yachol are basically a contradiction in terms, right? Mamish means literally, like, and kav yachol means as if. Right? So you're mamish kav yachol. It's a great phrase. You should be able to, I think you should start practicing using that in various phrases, It was how was Shir today? It was mamish kav yachol amazing. I think with enough practice, we'll figure out exactly the sweet spot for how to use that phrase. But that's a phrase that I think should be more in use. I vote for this to become part of the lexicon. So mamish kav yachol, you're connected to Hashem, right? And as a result, so you're actually, so to speak, not in this world, right? Just like Hashem is outside of the forces of nature, and you're not going to be, Hashem's not limited. So too, if you are mamish kav yachol, attached to Hashem, you see by all these sources, evidently, that you are also beyond. Umiskadesh b'kedusha helyona, shel Torah HaKadosha. And you are yourself elevated, sanctified by this unbelievable higher level, supernal level kedusha. She lamala she'ein orach mikol olamot. It's beyond all the worlds. If you recall, I don't know how many prakim ago this was, but back when, remember he gave us a sketch of like the universes, and like there was this like, again, this is Kabbalah kind of 101 of like how the Shefa comes down, drip, 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 from this world to the next world, to the next world, eventually to our world. And we had seen that the Torah was above all of that. So if you are connected in Miskadesh with Yushas HaTorah, that means you're lamala from all that. Because it's this thing, the Torah, which again was on the top of the pyramid, that's what's giving a life force. He had no senes hachius, the life, the hakiyum, and the sustenance, lekulam, to all the worlds, ulekol kochos atevim, all the natural forces. He's not denying this thing called nature. What he's saying is that the nature is powered by the supernatural. This again, which is, by the way, if you recall, this is, the most famous chiddush, maybe, or one of the most famous chiddushim in the whole Sefer, where this idea that if there would be a moment in time where no one in the world was learning, the whole world would explode. There could not be a world, right? It's all premise, and this is, again, it's hard, as I said many times, it's not that I, chas v'shalom, doubt any of this, but I think it's not falsifiable. You can't prove it one way or the other. It's just either you accept it or you don't, right? It's not falsifiable. There's no way to empirically check this. Right, but the point is, within the system, everything he said is internally logical. I don't think we've caught him like, quote unquote, in a steer or an inconsistency. It's all very internally consistent, right? So if you assume that the Torah is the life force of everything, And again, he had sketched out for us, you know, almost, you know, you can almost imagine it again. You can just see this, like, you know, the shefa is dripping from this world to this world, you know, until it gets to our world. And he kept on stressing how the Torah is above, above. It's even higher, 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 the highest thing. So if you can connect to the Torah, which again, he found, you know, we don't necessarily understand what they mean, but it wasn't like he didn't show us like 100 makoros that made this point. You know what I mean? Like, don't shoot the messenger. Like, it's not a kind of legend. You know, he's emphasizing, he's collating, he's certainly buying in, but he didn't invent this stuff. He didn't write this stuff. He's bringing, you know, tremendous scholarship onto bear to describe things in this very supernatural level. So you put it all together, says Rechaim V'Lajner, and what basically emerges is that by you, again, if you can learn on that level, you are connecting to the highest, highest, highest life force, the same force which is giving life to everything else. Hari ha'adam ha'osek ba mechayeh u'mekayem et kulam u'lamala mikulam. Right? And those two statements are clearly connected. Right? If you are learning, again, this is just a repeat, but again, in light of the last 10 prakim, it's an important emphasis and repetition. You are basically giving life, if you're learning Torah, you're giving life force to all the other forces. Umameli, you're above them. Right? Right? The mother is above the child because the mother gives the child life, not the other direction, right? That's a very logical thing. So he says, you're basically, in essence, the mother of, you know, there's Mother Earth. Yeah, well, guess what? You're mother of the Mother Earth. And of the solar system, of the galaxies, of all the galaxies, because everything is being powered by this one force called Kedushas HaTorah. If you are connected to the Torah, it's like, you know, he says, like, don't be amazed, don't look at this, like, with your tongue out, like, what? It's, like, obvious. It's again, internally, it's obvious. It's not obvious, like, when you just walk down the street. So this is true. But the inner logic of this is obvious, he says. Obviously, if this is the life force of Torah, and this is the way Torah operates on the universe, and you connect to the Torah, Samamela, you're going to be above those life forces. You could be a person who learns all day and somehow has a parnasa. What do you mean, how? It doesn't make any sense, right? There's no spreadsheet that will ever produce that. No, you know, no statistician or no accountant or no actuary is going to recommend such a thing. True! Because they're right in their sphere. They're dealing B'tocha teva. But these makoros are describing a reality which a person can achieve, in which, because they connect to Torah, they're lamala min teva. And if the Torah itself can power the whole universe, it can certainly power my life. That seems to be obvious. And if I'm connecting to it, I'm not going to be limited by the same things that are going to limit other people. Why should I be? I'm connected to something much, much stronger. Again, I like this idea, and I said it before, I want to repeat it, because I like it the way I think... I like the way I formulated it before, so let me repeat it. I think it's important, because I think we often, when I say we, I maybe include myself, but people tend to have this dichotomy, you know, are you more mystical or are you rational? You know, it's either or. And I don't, again, he definitely is very mystical, for sure. But again, in his conception, he's not denying, he's not saying there is no nature. He's just saying that there's something above nature. And that something that actually powers nature. What gives the laws of nature their power, right? Again, if you are someone who believes in the random, you know, circumstances of a Big Bang or something, okay, so you have no then there's no explanation. But if you are a believing person, so at some point you can explain, and then this can be explained by this theory, and this theory can be explained by this. Anyway, but at some point you hit a place where you have to talk about the first cause or the prime mover or what we call Hashem. Right, so that thing, which is called Hashem, which is called Torah, Kedusha, etc., so that is giving life force to everything. So says Rav Chaim V'Lajner, what he's saying is just one step beyond that. He's just saying that a human, these sources are showing us that by learning Torah Lishma, you as a human being still living in this world can connect to that force, and it can have an impact on your life. So it's not that there's no natural law, it's just that the supernatural powers the natural. And it hit me just as I was saying that to you before that some of you may, I think it was, not actually, did I give this shiur last year? I don't remember. It was a shiur that I used to give pretty regularly in Yeshiva and Shana Aleph, guys, when my Sunday chug was more of a halacha shiur than it is now. And one of the shiur I used to sometimes give is, what is the Torah's approach, even halachically, which is obviously, most of those shiur were purely halacha. It was one of those topics which the halacha and hashkafa were very connected, which is, what is the Torah's approach to medicine? Is it a mitzvah to listen or go to the doctors? You know, is that what you know, being healthy means? Is it an option? Is it reshus? Is it a chisaron? Because really you should have more imuna and bitachon and just daven. And the truth is, again, halacha lamaisa, like since the time of the Rishonim, it's been like overwhelming that we like listen to doctors and go to doctors and follow doctors. But in Rishonim, it's not obvious at all. It's a big machlokas. And the most famous shita, probably of one who says you don't necessarily think of doctors in such a good way, is the Ramban, who was a doctor. Not as famous or well known as the Ramban, but the Ramban was also a doctor. But he says that's all very, very bidyevit. And his, you know, in Bichlukosa, he has this very long piece. He talks, he repeats it in Torah Sa'adam also, in Kitvei Ramban, about how it's all bidyevit, how really, a person, if they were sick, Rahman Aslan, should go to the Navi, or go to the Kohen Gadol, or somehow figure out, oh yeah, you know why you have cancer? It's because you spoke Lashon Hara, or it's because you looked at the wrong thing on your phone. So do tshuva on that, and then it'll go away. Or something smaller. Right. So I'll leave with them. Now, Rav Mordechai also thinks that they should go to the doctor. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Anachanami. Right. So I did not know that, or at least if I did, I forgot it, but that is like the quintessential of Mordechai's story. I mean, if you know how he talks, and like hearing him say it to a guy who's like, I'm dying and I can eat my mommy. And he'd be like, okay, so we're going to get you this and do you know, and totally dead, you know. And do tshuva, and like the Shana Aleph guy's like, is he being serious? Is like, no, that's Rav Mordechai. He means it very seriously. Do tshuva. You must have done something wrong. Anyway, so that Ramban, again, other Rishonim disagreed with him, and even the Ramban, the Achronim point out, he was only talking about people at a high level at a different time in history. But Lamaisa, even whoever the Ramban was referring to at whatever point in history the Ramban was referring to, he wasn't denying. So I sometimes that's often like the Chakir of Bitachon versus Ishtadlos. The way I like to go over the Ramban, I think it's a little bit of a false choice. He wasn't saying, he wasn't against Ishtadlos, even in whatever cases or people he was talking about. He wasn't against Ishtadlos. He just thought that you have to know what the right Ishtadlos is. Is the Ishtadlos to go to the orthopedist or to go to the Navi? Is the orthopedist to, I mean, is the Ishtadlos to do PT, take medicine, or do tshuva? Right? That's not Ishtadlos. It's just, are you treating the symptom or the cause? Right, just like we would say, don't put a band-aid on something. Go get it. You know, you might have a blood disease. It's not just there's a reason you're bruising, or you know, it's not just you know, be careful, right? So here also, it's not just that layers of physical causes. And what the Ramban was saying, no, there's physical and spiritual. So okay, without getting into that topic, but just remind me, I think that's a parallel. Because here also, I think Nefesh HaChaim, he's not saying there is no physical. He's not saying there's no laws of nature. He's not denying laws of nature. He's just saying those are what's controlling those. Are they arbitrary? Yeah, someone might say that if you're an atheist or whatever, but if you're a believer, then you don't believe that's not arbitrary. So what's controlling them? The answer is it's not random Hashem controlling them. There are supernatural laws of the universe. There's a koach. And that koach is actually more complicated than you might have thought. That's all the spheros and all this other stuff going up there, the olamos. And says the Ramban, I mean, this is the kind of leisure. You should know that's above that is Torah. And therefore, if a person connects to that, they're going to not be limited by this world because they're connected to something that's above and beyond. Okay, next paragraph. This is what the Gemara Pesachim says. On the one hand, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ad Shemayim Chazdecha. Right? Hashem's going to do a chesed for us. How much will Hashem do for us? Ad Shemayim, up to the heavens. But another Pasuk says, Me'al Shemayim Chazdecha. It's even beyond the heavens. So what's the explanation? Says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction, no kasha. Kan v'oskin lishma, kan v'oskin shelo lishma. So again, this fits in perfectly with what we've been seeing until now. Hainu. Shaosek b'taru shelo, but this is a chiddush, because you see here a certain mile even of the lo lishma. Hainu shaosek b'taru shelo lishma. Even that person who's not doing and going to get to this highest level we talked about, he's only the shelo lishma. Im ki vade shekam humurutzel l'funavis barach. You see from this Gemara, he's going to get chazdecha ad shamayim. He's clearly merutzeh to Hashem. Av im kavanas olus shem is a pniyah shetiyah. Even though he has some other selfish side motivation, rakim eino l'kintur chas v'shalom. Because the one thing that would be beyond this is if you are learning in order to cause trouble. Like almanas was called almanas l'kanter. I'm learning so that I can ridicule. I'm learning so I can upshlug. I'm learning so I can cause trouble. So that there's no ma'ala to that. But learning because I want kavod. Learning because I want to get a job as a rebbe. Learning because I want girls to be impressed that I know a lot of Torah. Whatever all the reasons why people might learn, they're lo l'shem shemayim, right? I want to get. I want the reshiva to think I'm a hot to trot. All those lo l'shem things, it's still a milah. The kol shekain im einu mechavin l'shem pniyah. But obviously, even better is if you have no side or personal agenda. Rak l'fisha hurgo b'chach. Right? There's another level in between, which is I'm just learning because that's what I do. Like, I got brought up to a from family, and everyone goes to Israel for the year, and, you know, my Rebbeim told me I should go to this yeshiva, and in this yeshiva I learned, because I always do what my teachers tell me. Like, there are people who are like that. I had a roommate, when I was in 11th and 12th grade, I went to the yeshiva in Silver Spring, Yagwash, No, Yagwash. I didn't go to the Hogwash. Mapito. What do you look at me?
I think they call it YG Dubs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, this is before that. That was before that. There were no Dubs in my day. I'm way too old for that. It was Yeshiva Greater Washington, and there was Hogwash, which now became Berman. But I was in the all boys school. Anyway, but I boarded, and I had a roommate who was way ahead of me in high school. I don't just mean he was smarter than me, but like he all he did was learn. Like he was pocket protector, like computer programmer, nerdy, like every stereotype. You know, when he wanted a break from doing math problems, he played chess, and he needed a break from that, he wrote computer code, like every stereotype. And he also learned. It was like the top guy. But it was Igali Milsa Lamafreya. I'm not saying he was a bad person. He wasn't a bad person at all. But there was no spiritual spark. He was a goody two shoes. He was also smart, so that helped being good at things. But he was really a goody two shoes. Beteva, he was a goody two shoes. So he did everything that he was supposed to do. And when he was supposed to be in Shir and learning Gemara, he did that. And since he was smart, he did it well. But the second it wasn't obligatory, he wasn't in high school anymore, I haven't kept track of him. I don't know if he's from. I hope he is. But he had no. He was the one guy in our class that had no interest in Israel. Like, he had to get on to, like, become an engineer and, have more pens in his pocket or something. I mean, whatever he needed to do. He had no... It was... I realized afterwards, whereas I, who had a very big Yetzirah, but I also had a little bit of Yetzirah Tov, the second that I catalyzed my Yetzirah for good things, I lapped him quickly. Right? So there's a... So, again, I'm not... This is not about me, and I'm not even trying to bang on him. I'm saying, whenever I hear a comment like this, or I see a core like this, my mind automatically goes back to high school. I met people like this since then, but to me, that was like to me, it's always going to be the most dramatic example of somebody I knew. He learned, but there was no feeling it. Well, he wasn't Lakanter Chas V'Shalom. He wasn't Lo L'Shem Shemayim. He was Mito Chergo. He was in a place where he was told to learn. Now, again, I hope best case scenario is he somehow got himself into a firm community, and if that's what the social expectation is, maybe he's still doing it. That's best case scenario. Or maybe he just did tshuva. I mean, it's possible he grew too. Maybe I'm not being fair to him. Maybe he grew at some point. But the person I knew when I last saw him, it was just whatever was expected of him, that's what he did. So whatever environment he would be in, he would do what was expected of him. So that's not lo l'shem shemayim. That's also not l'shem shemayim, says Rechaim Elazar. That's somewhere in the middle. But even that's a maila. Ki mitocha yavo, hopefully, again, not always, but hopefully, if you keep that up, again, you have to keep it up, is the point. Eventually you'll get to the madrega of l'shema, as Chazal famously say, you should learn Shalom Lishma, Shemichok Shalom Lishma, Ba Lishma. Im Kozeh, but nevertheless, Adain Lunis Kadesh Vinala. But nevertheless, even though we're finding some mila, some redeeming factor, some redeeming quality in even the Lolishma and certainly the Hergel person, but clearly you're not going to be on the level that we're talking about now where you get connected to these supernal and upper levels of Kedusha and you can defy gravitational forces and kind of live your own world. That's clearly not going to be. The idea that Hashem is going to be with you, Lamala from nature, that's not going to be for those people. And that's why it says back into the Gemara in Pesachim in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ad Shemayim. Right? And that's very metaphorically, it's beautiful. When you just learn the Gemara, it just sounds like quantitatively. Like, how much chesed is a person going to do? How much chesed does Hashem do for you? I'll do everything up to, it's like with Mordechai, with Esther and Achashverosh. In one pasuk it says, I'll give you up to Chatzi HaMalchus, and the other, says, even Lamalami Chatzi HaMalchus. It just sounds like quantitative. And then the Gemara says, what's the difference in who gets more and who gets less? The Shema or the Shema. It says Rechaim V'Lashner, I think this Gemara is much deeper now in light of Rechaim V'Lashner's interpretation. If you understand that Lishma attaches you to this whole power source, which is Lamal Minateva, so then it's not a random, the Gemara, there's a lot of ways the Gemara could have distinguished between more and less Chesed of Hashem. But the idea of Ad Shemayim in beyond Shemayim, it's like a very modern metaphor, right? I think it fits beautifully the way we would conceive those terms. One is you're still in this universe, you still have the normal forces of nature, you're only Ad Shemayim. So Hashem can still give you good things, but he so to speak, kilu forced, mamish kavyachol, forced to limit the way he helps you to the laws of nature. But if you can tap into something beyond that, Torah l'shma, then it's lamalam in Hashemayim. You're actually not even limited to the laws of nature. Okay. Avahosek bo l'shma, amrim yala Hashemayim, ratzalom mishkoh hanagosav, yizbarach imo rak l'mala, meros kol chazativim. Now, in the little bit of time that I have left, I think 6 or 7 minutes, we'll see if we can get through all of it, and if not, we'll get part of it. Basically, now that we have the whole the premise, which I think is really great, and kind of move the ball forward, this is not stuff that we necessarily saw exactly the way we saw it today. I don't know if it's exactly the way we've seen it previously. Now he has a few sources in the Zohar. So we've had nice Gemaras, nice ideas. Now he's going to try to throw a few Zohars at us, and we'll get through as much as we can. So he says, the Zesha Kosov, and this is, now that we understand the idea, this is what it said, and again, part of the Zohar called the Raya Mehimna. That means Raya Mehimna in Parshas Pinchas. Tachazi, right? Come and see, basically, the cousin of Toshma. Not come in here, but Tachazi, come and see. Ko Biryan D'Alma. any person in the world, Kodem is Yavis or Raisa li Yisrael, Havu Talyan b'mazala. Before the Torah was even given to the Jewish people, everybody, right, before Har Sinai, that was a irrevocable, magnificent, and significant change in the world. But until there was a Har Sinai, everybody was totally in the, basically the laws of nature, what he is calling mazalos, because there was no Torah to surpass that. Aval basar dis yavis orais l'Yisrael. But after the Jewish people were given the Torah at Har Sinai, afik lun mechayuva the kachvei mazalei. Hashem, so to speak, removed them, presumably here means the Jewish people, afik lun, they are no longer bound by the kochavim in the mazalos. Which again, I think we've pointed out in this chabura, and you know, many thinkers point out in all sorts of contexts that, you know, pretty much all modern rabbinic thinkers look at the gemaras of kochavim mazalos as basically being, you know, Amoraic terminology for what we call natural law, you know, science and nature. And what they have the Torah, a person can be beyond those things. Who begin da, and because of this, call mishtadla baraisa, anyone who, you know, works hard, shtags, you know, he's tired in afternoon seder, but he doesn't just give up, he doesn't close the Gemara, he works at it. Batl minei chayuva de kachavi mazalei. So the limiting forces of science, of nature, of this world, of natural law, of the laws of nature, are going to be batal. They're not going to have hold on him. If, you know, if the Torah, if this person is going to learn the Torah, to be mekayim the mitzvos. So that's just like an added PS, although it's an important PS, right? It's not just about like steiging, right? This is, you know, not surprisingly, and this is not the first time we've seen it, the Chaim Volozhiner emphasizes and underscores the importance of lilmon amanas lasos. Right? If you just learn without doing, so that, you know, this is not, you know, especially if you don't have any intention. It's one thing if you, and eventually, you know, inevitably all of us are going to not do because none of us are perfect. But when you're sitting and learning, are you learning that I hope to be able to do? Okay, so now there's a chance. If you're a person who's not even have that as a theoretical ideal, so then of course it doesn't matter how much you learn, you're not going to get the reward of being, you know, above the world. Okay, turning over, at least in my book, turning over the page. Continuing, now this is Ruchayim Volozhiner returning, Priz Zohar. Badrabah, on the contrary, Hakokos Ativim Asurim Elov Kasher Yigzer Omer Alehem. Right, and the, you know, somebody who's not learning Lishma, or somebody who's not doing it, who's not doing the mitzvot, is not learning Amanas Lasot. For sure, the powers of this world will be very much gozer on him. Right, he'll be totally dependent on and under the thumb, if you will, of the rules of this world. As it says, I'm not sure what Perikator is. I don't know what that is actually. I didn't Google this phrase. I don't know. I didn't. I'm not sure anyone familiar with this. I'm not sure, honestly. Venosenes lo malchus u'memshala k'mashkaz beperek ha-Torah. Is that from that Perkei Avos 6th Perek? I'm not sure. I don't know what that is, honestly. I'm sorry. Kinezer lekav or ha-Torah. The crown of Hashem is or ha-Torah. Mi'ira u'mavheket arosho. Chose kav yachal betzel kan ve'eshchina. Right? Hashem protects that. He's going to only give that out to people. Right? The reason the Torah has so much, is so precious, you know, it's because it's so close to Hashem, and vice versa. Hashem keeps it so close to him because it's so precious. As it says in Zohar, a second one for the day, V'amar v'asim devarai b'ficha, u'betzel yadi kisiticha. Right? I will put, you know, my hand, you know, my word in your mouth, right? U'betzel yadi, I guess, in like the palm or the shadow of my hand, I will cover you. Tanina, and what do we learn from this? Kol barnash tishtad b'milderai. Anyone who works hard steigs in learning. U'svasei marchashvan. And his lips are moving a rice with words of Torah. Kujabrifu chafi alei. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, envelops him, covers him, protects him. Ushchina parsha alei gad faha. And the shchina, so to speak, is spread out over him as well. Harichsev, as the pasuk says, vasim peficha b'tzal yadi chesiticha. So this is kind of a visual of what does that mean that Hashem is going to, so to speak, remove you from, or give you more direct hashkacha, as opposed to the hashkacha of just regular natural law, you know, laws of nature and natural forces. So the Zohar, based on this pasuk, is kind of creating a visual of Hashem, so to speak. You know, it's like if you were carrying around a child, you know, in the rain, right? If you just hold the child's hand, or even if you just kind of let him ride on your back, he's going to get soaking wet. But if you completely cover him, or Rahman al-Salam, you see these pictures, you know, and thank God none of us have seen it in real life, but you can see it on the news or in a movie or something. You know, there's some gunfire, and the mother or the father jumps on top of the child to cover them, right? So, yes, there's bullets flying, but the child's protected because he's in its own little space. So that's kind of the image of the Zohar's creating, that Hashem, he covers you, he hides you, he envelops you.
And let's just skip. Now we're going to do the skip to the last paragraph. We only have a minute left anyway. The Parshas Metzora. If you see that, see where Parshas Metzora. Kat ihu ishtada bepuchana demare. Says the Zohar, if a person is mishtadel in the avoda of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, his master, uli baraisa, and he's osek in Torah, kamen notrin zimnin lekable lemantarle. How many shomrim are going to be, so to speak, assigned to protect him? Ushchinte ishari ale, Hashem shkin will be on him. Bekula markaze kamei vamre. They all come, you know, forward, all these shomrim, and they will declare, they'll be machriz, and they will say, havu yikara leduyukna demalka. Give kavod, give to the person who is in the image of the Melech, right? Dukno of the Malka. It's not the Ruba Alma Adain, he should be protected in this world. Uma Alma the Asi Zakile, he should get his chelek. So I like this nuance that if you learn Torah, you're in the Dukna the Malka. So I'm like, you're making yourself into the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning Torah.